Well, let's open in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we come into your presence tonight thanking you for another opportunity to share your word and have fellowship with the saints, but above all that we have fellowship with the Father and with your Son, Yeshua. And Father, we just bow before you tonight asking for the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to reveal your word in power, that you would give us revelation knowledge tonight, that we might realize that we are not only designed to be winners, but you are going to cause us to become winners, that we are part of your program, we are part of your plan, and you've never failed, and you that has begun a good work in us will finish it, and we praise you for it in advance. And Father, we take the blood of the Lamb, the redemption sign, and we place it upon this building and upon our minds that the enemy cannot cause any weapon to prosper against us in terms of not understanding, in terms of defeat, in terms of anything in our life that would cause us to not receive what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because you said in your word that no weapon formed against us would prosper, for our righteousness is of Yahweh Yeshua. So do we receive it, so do we accept it, we worship and praise you as you are the divine teacher. And as you bring us your divine word, may we realize tonight that we're sitting at the feet of the Master. So let it be done, Father, as both speaker and hearer alike look to you and say, Thy will be done in Yeshua's name. Amen. Revelation 4, verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, how many know we're talking about thrones? We've already got three thrones mentioned three times here. Must be important. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts. The word is simply what you see up on the board. The Hebrew word chai or the Greek word zoe. There were four chai in Hebrew. There were four zoe in Greek. That's all it says. Not four living creatures, not four beasts, but beings in whom is the fullness of life. Where are beings who have life? They're on the throne, they're around the throne, because life and throne experiences are one and the same. In other words, if you're on the throne, you're alive, you're living, you're not dead. But if you have life, you also are connected to the throne, for life and throneship are synonymous. They're together. Verse 7, the first Zoe, the first Chai, was like a lion. The second living creature, being, was like a calf. The third living being had a face as a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And last week we got into a few verses on the word life. We want to pick up where we left off. Remember, we did John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we were on John 5, 24. And let's turn there again. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Zoe, same word. Same word here that you have. Now, isn't it interesting that the translators take that same word and translate it life here, but translated it beast in Revelation? Same word. Same word. It's what I want you to see. In other words, when we believe on him, we have. And the word to have here in the original means to possess. How many of you understand that when you have him, you possess life? You cannot have him and not have life. It is an impossibility. They go together. You can't have him and not have life. You know how many people have him and say, well, I've accepted him as my Savior, but man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. It's an impossibility. To have him is to have life. That's what this says. This is what our Savior said. These are his words. He cannot lie. He is the truth. I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Has everlasting life. Has everlasting life. Has. How many of you have everlasting life? How many of you have life that won't quit? How many know it's already here? Then what are you griping about? Death will not conquer you. Death is not going to win over you. Death situations do not determine your victory. Hallelujah. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now what I want you to see is if we draw a line across this board, and on the right-hand side we're going to put the word life, and on the left-hand side we're going to put the word death, This is total death. Nothing lives at this point. And at this point, this is total life, and this is where deity is. This is where our Father is. This is where His Son is. This is where the Holy Spirit is. This is where you are. Now, somewhere in my life, I've got maybe some finances that are there, more towards the left-hand side of this line, and maybe my health is here, maybe my relationships with other people is here, and maybe on the experience side, my relationship with Father is here. Now, how many know that somehow I've got to get all of this over to here? Can you see that? I've got to get from death to life. Now, if you look at this verse, what does it say? I have passed from death unto life. I was here. I was in death. By receiving Him, I have passed over into life. That's where I am. But that's not where I am in areas of my life. And how many know there's five areas of redemption, right? My spirit, that's the first thing to be redeemed. That's what happens when you're born again. Number two, I must redeem my soul. That's the area of my thinking. How many know I still think things that aren't too redeeming? My feelings, how many know I feel things that aren't always scriptural? And this is the act of my choosing. I sometimes choose things that aren't too good. And I have attitudes. That's all part of my soul. So this part's being redeemed. Number three, my body must be redeemed. And how many know that's going to be done in the translation and the resurrection? Number four, my social life is being redeemed, which is my relationships with other people. And number five, my financial areas, or my security for economics and living. Those are the five areas in which He's come to redeem me. That means that He wants me to pass from the death experience into a life experience. That is His will. Did you need my keys? Did you need my keys? Oh, no children yet. If there's none in 10 minutes, just... Okay, thank you. So what we have is, in Christ, we go from death to life. And where we're to go, our spirit, this verse in John 5:24, refers to our spirit. In my spirit, I've already passed from death to life. I'm already in a life state. I'm already in a Zoe state. I'm already in a Chai state. I am already in the spirit where Adam was before he fell. That's where I am. But if I don't know that, I'm always trying to get to something that's alive. And it's through my spirit that I redeem my soul. Through my soul, I redeem my body. Through my spirit and soul, I redeem my social life and I redeem my finances. The Bible says the last enemy to be conquered is death. But it refers in that scripture to the body. The last thing about me to be redeemed is the body. What does that mean? That means these other four areas can make it. And to those who make it, to those who in their spirit, in their thinking, in their feeling, in their choosing, in their attitudes, in their relationships, and in their finances become full of life, you are now in Revelation 4, verse 6 and 7. Now that means, number one, that therefore it must be possible. Now nobody is born here except in the spirit. So none of you can say, well, life just didn't give me a good handout. Every one of you have something to fight against and fight for, to struggle with. And yet in the churches today we're told, well, if you have fights and struggles, there must be something wrong with you. How many know that doesn't give you faith? There must be something wrong in your life. You must have unbelief. You must have some sin in your life. And you sit there and you look and say, I don't see anything wrong. But the more you look, the more you can find fault with. And so consequently you say, well, that must be why I'm not where I'm at. And you blow it because you're now in condemnation. Yet this verse says in John 5:24, I shall not come into condemnation. Hallelujah. But I have passed from death into life. So first of all, I got to understand, this is Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. This is where He wants me. And to those who live in that realm until every part of their life is filled with life, that's who we are. It's one thing to be possessed in this area. It is another thing to just have it. Isn't that right? How many know you can have a lot of food in your cupboard and die of starvation because you didn't eat it? It hasn't become part of you. And so what Father wants to do is make this part of us. So that's part of what His life is. All right, then we went down to verse 26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And if you're in the Son, He's going to give you life to have life in yourself. Can you see that? You're going to have life in yourself, just like He is. And then we went to John 6:35. I think this is where we stopped last time. John 6:35. Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of Zoe. I am the bread of Chai. That's what He is. He that cometh to Me shall never what? Hunger. How many of you hunger? That refers to needs. I have spiritual needs. I have soul needs. I have body needs. I have social needs. I have financial needs. And how many know the Scripture says, He meets my needs according to His riches and glory. Can you see that? Now, unless I understand this, He wants to meet my need. That's why He is called Yahweh Yireh, commonly known as Jehovah Jireh. There is no J in Hebrew. It's only a 300-year-old letter. Didn't exist previously in any language. Originally, the J was a Y, pronounced Y. That's why you have Jehovah. They didn't know that, which was a Yah instead. So we have Hallelujah, but somehow we made it Jehovah, and it's the same letter. So what we have is that He is Yahweh Yireh, meaning He sees my need, and He's come to provide those needs. So I have to understand that He's come to meet those needs. I am the bread of life. I fulfill, I satisfy. So there should be no doubt in my part that He wants to meet my need. Now, number one, that means I'm going to have some needs. And number two, it means that He's going to have to meet that need, and that He wants to meet that need. Now, my question is this. If He wants to meet that need, and I know I need to have that need met, how come it isn't being met? That's where the big church has its issue. Well, I hope by the time we're through with this study, you won't have that question anymore. But you'll probably have it tonight, even when I'm through preaching. But that's all right, because you have to learn how to love Me. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. That's what He is. He didn't say, I have it. He said, I am it. I am the bread of life. Now, that means that if you're going to have your needs met, it can only be met in the person of Yeshua. He is the bread in His person. Why? And in your person, what has needs? All of this is simply you. That's person. Your personal needs are going to be met through His personal love for you. Person to person. This is a person to person thing. That's what religion is. It's a person to person thing. It's not a code of ethics. It does contain that, but that's not what it's for. It's a relationship. And that's what we need to understand. You don't go out there and you don't preach doctrine to people. How many know everybody preaches doctrine? Well, this is what I believe. Somebody called me up on the phone today. He says, would you? What does your church believe? Said it just believes that Father loves people and He wants to meet needs. Do you have a need? No, wait a minute. I want to know. What do you doctrine believe? I just told you. I bring you to Yeshua and He does the rest. See, everybody wants to get you on doctrine because now they can disagree with you. And how many knows that even in the most perfect marriage, you don't always agree? Now, if a husband and wife go into the same church, working on the same job, living in the same home, and every need is met, they'll still argue. They'll not get together intellectually because they don't think I see eye to eye. That's normal in every relationship in life. Well, Father knows that you and I don't agree with Him. How many of you have learned to grow just since last year? Changed anything in your life, doctrinally, inside of yourself? Now, who changed, He or you? But you know what? He loved you just as much last year as He did this year. You see? His love for you isn't based on what you believe. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? The church can't love you unless you believe like Him. And how many know that it's so hard to love people who don't like what you do? See, and that's the sign of love. Agape love has no value in what you're doing. It's only, do you have a need? I'm here to minister. Agape love is a ministry love that has nothing to do with the deeds of another. And that's what Father wants us to do. I am that bread of life. I am the bread of Zoe. So if you want this Zoe, if you want this position, all you have to do is be filled with the person of Yeshua. Verse 53. Then Yeshua said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have what? No life. So life, or zoe, or chai, is based on eating and drinking. Can you see that? Now look what it says. You must eat. Watch this now. Here's what your dinner is supposed to be. You're supposed to eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Is that what it says? How many know you're supposed to be a cannibal? Why do you think the Catholic Church teaches in their communion, they call it Mass, why do you think they teach that you literally eat his flesh? Anybody know? Because they literally believe that when Yeshua said that, that it meant this, and his flesh is only conveyed through the wafer. That is a basic doctrine of Roman Catholicism. You cannot have life without the priest giving it to you in the form of a wafer. That is your life. That's why you must have Mass daily. And if you do not eat that, you're not eating his flesh. You therefore have no life. And the only place you can get that wafer is from a priest. And that's why all salvation is tied into the priesthood of a Roman Catholic. The word Protestant simply means one who protests. Which means they protested this and believed that we could eat his flesh without going through a priest. We could go direct to the Father and we could get forgiveness of sins and we can go according to the Word, and each one of us has access to Father without going through somebody. That's all Protestant means. But as far as Catholics and Protestants are concerned, doctrinally, we still use the same Scripture, just how we perceive it. Can you see that? Okay. Don't get involved with them. The bottom line is, we both use the same Scripture, so what we want to do is just, I don't care if there's a Catholic in front of me or a Protestant. That's immaterial. It doesn't make any difference what either one of them believe. The point is, he said you've got to eat it, and that means you've got to eat. Now, we need to understand, what is the flesh of the Son of Man? If you're supposed to eat the flesh, and we're not cannibals, and it isn't, is this a physical act that he's talking about? Well, if it's a physical act, you better find something you can eat. And that's what happens in some churches. You've got to find some physical manifestation, and that's not what it's talking about. It says the flesh of the Son of Man. Now, that's an interesting phrase, because Son of Man in Hebrew is simply Son of Adam. And how many know in 1 Corinthians 15, he's called the second Adam? And you have to be born into him. He is the heavenly one. He is the sovereign from heaven. And as we've borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, so that in Christ or in second Adam, we are going to come alive. We are going to live. It is in him. So our life comes through second Adam, which means that flesh is simply his nature. So we're to partake of the nature of the second Adam. And the nature of the second Adam is his love. What we call the fruit of the Spirit. So what you're to eat every single day, if you want to have life, you're going to have to eat living things. And he's the only one that has life. And so if you want to live, if you want to be full of life, how many know that your body only becomes what you eat? Your body lives to the degree you put living food into it. If you don't put living food into it, you will start to die. You can eat whatever you want, honey. It's just a matter of getting to heaven faster. Your body can only live to the degree that you put living things in it. That's the nature of life. You must eat in order to live. And if you do not eat, that means put it in your mouth. And how many know that the mouth of the Christian is his mind? That's your mental mouth. And when you meditate, which is thinking on things, the word to meditate is to chew with teeth. That means when you meditate, when you think on something in your mind, that is called eating. That's why the Bible said if you meditate on his word day and night, you will have success. You will live. You will prosper. But not unless you eat. Now, some of us love to eat. Some people don't like to eat. Some people have problems with certain kinds of eating. But you know what? You were made to eat. Father deliberately made us to eat and to enjoy eating. If you don't enjoy natural eating, it's going to be awful hard for you to enjoy spiritual eating because you can't relate. Does that make sense? You say, man, I just want to eat and get it over with. Well, you're going to read the Bible the same way. Read it and get over my Bible study today. I got other things to do.
Some people just eat and throw it back up.
That's right. Regurgitate. Come to church, how fast can we get out of here? See, we don't want to enjoy eating. Now, I've seen some of you, you go to a table, you sit there and eat, you'll eat there for 4 hours.
Four.
Yeah. You know?
We did
that. That's right. We don't even want to leave the table. Now, we know we're not eating food all that time, but we're fellowshipping because eating is a fellowship experience. Can you see that? That's what it is. How are you going to be healed in your social life if you don't get out and mix with somebody and learn how to heal your relationships? Now, you know what we do? We all have favorites. I don't like to sit with you. I don't want to sit with him. What did Pastor say?
He said, some of you just don't like to sit with somebody.
He just grumbled. That's what he said. When a guy grumbles.
Yeah. All you have to do is, if all of us had the same, if all of you went to the soup exchange and all of you got, but I said to all of you, none of you can sit down. Just get your plate full of food and stand there up against the wall. And we got all 25 of you lined up against the wall. And there was just one table over here. And I said, okay, everybody haul for the table at the same time. Now there's going to be about five of you. Really don't care who sits with you as long as you get the chief spot at the table. But the rest of you are going to sit back and look and see who's sitting where. I don't want to sit next to that person. I don't want to sit next to this person. And then when you see somebody take your seat, did you ever watch your face? I didn't want to be here anyway. I'm going to go home. Don't we do that?
No, not me.
You lie. Yeah. Some people know when to go to the bathroom, don't they? No. See, now, how many know I'm having fun? I mean, last week I picked on singles. This week I'm picking on your teeth. I'm a toothpick. We want to learn how to eat. We haven't learned how to enjoy. You know, when Father puts you down with somebody, He puts you there for a reason. Learn how to get nature. You've got to learn to eat nature. Eat flesh. How many know that flesh is not the body? How many times have we told you that the soul, as it operates through the body, is the biblical word for flesh? You eat flesh. What's that mean? That's your person. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You know what it says in John 3:3 and John 3:6? That which is born of flesh is flesh. Did you ever know when a baby's born, that whole thing is flesh? This is not talking about its toes and its hands and its little tummy. Little hair on top of its head, that's not flesh. It's as that little child begins to grow and it shows signs of personality. That's flesh. When it makes a nasty face, when it sticks its tongue out, that's flesh. When it won't stop messing its diaper, that's flesh. Now, the Bible said we've got to learn to deal with flesh. How many know that we're all at different stages? There's nothing worse than a 3-year-old who thinks he's a 12-year-old. Any of you that got 4 kids or 5 kids in your family, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, why can't I do it? He does it.
See, and flesh learns, when you eat flesh, you learn how to minister love to the level at which it's needed so that the person who is walking in flesh can learn to become spiritual. And you know why we don't want to walk with flesh? Because it activates our flesh. That person rubs me the wrong way. And you know what I'll do half the time? You put you right in front of that person every single time. Do you ever notice when you're at work, sometimes you have to work around the worst, not the best? Well, I wish I had an office with that person over there, but I keep having to work with this person. Well, Father's going to put you in front of their flesh because you got some spirit and He wants you to motivate them. Instead, they end up motivating you. You're supposed to be spiritual. And when you eat flesh, when you... Now think about this, kind of humorous. What you have to do is you have to think, I'm going to eat their flesh. So instead, you say, I'm being eaten up. I'm being devoured. I can't handle this anymore. No, you take the opposite side. I'm going to eat him. You're going to win, see? I'm a winner. See, because there's life inside of me. There's death over there. Well, how many know that when you turn light on, darkness leaves? When you become positive and a negative influence, you change the negative. But if you become a negative and they're negative, you ain't going to change nothing. They've just molded you into their image. You haven't molded them. So if you eat him and you become him, then you go out there and they'll eat you and they'll change. But if you eat them and not him, they're going to change you, because whatever you eat is what you become. If you eat people's criticisms, you will become critical. See law. Some of you say, I don't see law. Where did law go? Just kidding. Okay. When are you going to get off of that? In just a few minutes. Alright. Alright, we're on John 6:53. Huh?
What do you do if they don't change?
There ain't no way in the world that I'm going to stay around somebody and they ain't going to be changing somewhere. It might take 3 years. How long did it take Father to change you?
Oh my.
Do you know why Father leaves you in a situation? To prove that you're stronger than them. You're to outlast. Do you know what parenting's all about? To see whose will can outlast who? Most parents can never outlast the will of a baby. They can never outlast the will of a 4-year-old kid or a 12-year-old kid or a 16-year-old kid. It's a matter of the wills. I'll do it my way. No, you won't. And after a while, the parent says, I give up. I just can't train this brat of mine. Well, the brat just parented you. It was just a matter of whose will is stronger, and you just accepted the fact that your will is weak. See? Now, Father says, my will is sovereign. And when you come to me, you're my kid. I win. And I have purposes for you, and I'm going to win. You ain't going to win. You're not going to stay in the flesh. You're going to get spiritual. And the way I'm going to leave you in the flesh, the way I'm going to train you to get out of the flesh, I'm going to put you around flesh till you understand it's obnoxious, and finally you decide to change. But I'm going to change you. And when I change you because you eat me, then you're going to change them, because they're going to have to eat you instead of you eating them. But most of you eat bitterness all day long because you work with bitter people and you let them get to you. You literally eat what they feed you instead of eating who you are and going in and eating them. See, you got to learn how to eat mountains for breakfast. Just don't think about that junk food. You sit there and pour that sugar grain stuff on that bowl. Go out there and grab some mountains. Grab the person you're hating. Put them in front of you, in front of that bowl of cereal you're eating. And every time you take a bite, you mention their name. If you've got an ornery John, just take that cereal and say in Yeshua's name, I'm eating you, John. Arr! I win. And then by the time you go to work, man, you pumped up. But you see, the problem is, if you really don't believe that, the moment John opens his mouth, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. See, we don't really believe it. We got to get to the point where we eat and it becomes a part of us. When you eat him, his nature, you are transformed. And when you're transformed, you will transform things around you, because light will always undo darkness. It's a law. It's a law. Hallelujah. 53. Except you eat the flesh or the nature of the son of Adam or the second Adam and drink his blood. Now notice the word eat and notice the word drink. How many know you got to have fluids? You know why? You got to flush toxins. You got to get nutrients Now, if any of you don't know what I'm talking about, why, you see Betty Armstrong and Don Lane after the service, and they'll talk about all this. See, because that's what they're in. Their business is dealing with nutrients and toxins. Number one, you got to get nutrients. Number two, you got to get rid of toxins. Most of us sit there and we get toxins and get rid of nutrients. We got it in reverse, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong with me. Death begins in the colon. Why? Because that's the seedbed of toxins. And from there, toxins go into the blood. Toxins go into the cells of the body. And you know what will kill you? It's toxins. Toxins. And you know what will kill you in the world? Emotional toxins. Fear. Anxiety. Hatred. Bitterness. Huh? Right? How many? Does it eat on you? Well, it eats on you, right? You just grind your stomach up. And Father's telling you, if you drink enough fluids, you'll flush it out of you. You got to learn how to drink with His blood. Blood is redemptive, which means you learn how to constantly dwell on His redemptive work for you. And you eat nutrients by constantly looking at His nature and who He is. Who He is what you eat. What He's done is what you drink. Did you get that? Let me put that down. Who He is what you eat. What He has done is what you drink. If you eat His flesh and drink His blood, you have life. You have Zoe. That's the foundation of Zoe. Now, how am I going to get to the end of where we're going unless I begin? This is the beginning. Now, how many of you have been in church long enough to hear that scripture over and over, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life? You've heard that for years, haven't you? But how many knew what that meant? How many preachers have explained it to you? It's not out there, folks. Most commentaries that write on this don't even say this. Why? Because they don't know. If the pastor don't know, is the church going to know? Yet this is basic truth. What do you think he was teaching? Cannibalism? Of course not. He was referring to himself. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, repeats himself again, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? All right, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. They are Zoe. So now we have another definition for Zoe. It is His Word. His Word is the same thing as life. So if you want to become a cherubim, if you want to be an overcomer, if you want to have Chai, if you want to have Zoe, if you want to become a life member, you've got to be full of His Word. To be full of life is to be full of His Word. And His Word is spiritual, which means that the spirit man lives off of the Word. And so the amount of victory you have in your soul, your body, your social and financial areas is 100% based upon how much of this Word you can get into your spirit. There are 10 steps from the time this Word comes into these ears until it comes out through your behavior and manifestation. 10 steps for this Word to become alive. When you do these 10 steps, your spirit man will start to redeem and take possession of the rest of your life. And to those who operate in the realm of His Word, become full of life. You will be victorious. You will sit on His throne. All of you can do that, can't you? But you need to have it explained. You need to understand it. You need to have it shown. That's why I don't preach it to you. I'm explaining it to you. There's a difference. I can get up here and I can preach it. I can grab my microphone and jump over the chairs and put on the best Pentecostal show you ever saw. And I can get you shouting simply because I'm jumping. But if it don't make you walk the walk and talk the talk when you leave that door, it doesn't do you a bit of good. Do you ever see Christians get excited in the service, go home and still figure out what it was all about? What do you say? How do you do the same? I remember one time coming out of a big convention. The message was really dynamic. 15,000 people, all leaving the convention center, all tongue-speaking Christian. They're all leaving the center at the same time. cussing each other out because they're too slow in front of you. We're talking about deliverance, victory, faith, and love. We go out and beat each other up. Something's wrong. If you can come out of a glorious service and still be flesh, it tells me something's missing. Amen? You can say amen. That's okay. You won't hurt my feelings. Hallelujah. My words are spirit and they are life, meaning that life begins in the spirit and nowhere else. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter said to him, Master, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life or eternal Zoe. So they're tied up in his word, and how many know he is the word? Hallelujah. John 8:12. Then spake Yeshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How many know that life is another synonym for light? The light of what?
Life.
In other words, if life expresses itself, it produces light. Now, how many times have I drawn the chart for you? I'm out of board. Not that I'm bored. I'm out of board. We drew that little circle, cut the pie up in three parts, and we put the word life. We said that's the Father. It's also type of my spirit, man, and the Trinity part of my nature. Then we had light. That's the Son, who is the light. Because the Bible said that Father is life and the Son is light. And that's in my soul. And then we have love. Those are the three L's. Life, light, and love. And love is produced through the body and also is done through the actions of the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father who is life, the Son who is light, the Holy Spirit. How the love of the Father is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:9. Every one of these things are functions. And Christ Himself said, this life, this light, comes from life. You can only have as much light as you have life. If you increase life, you increase light. If you increase light, you increase love. Love can only come to the degree you have light, and light can only come to the degree that you have life. And how many know that life began in Genesis 1:1? How many know that light begins in Genesis 1:3? Right? Enough said. I get on that one. We're on another subject. Now, we're talking about, well, let's look at this. Death, what's the symbol for death? Darkness. What's the symbol for life? Light. So again, we got the same light from darkness. Bible said, in Him is no darkness at all. He is light. John 1:7, we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And if you walk in the light, that means every step. That means every movement. That means every action. If you do everything in the light, it will automatically cleanse you from all sin. In other words, you won't have to wrestle with a sin problem. You know why we wrestle? Because we're not in the light. Can you see that? Okay. Now we're going to have the light of life. We're going to walk in the light. We're going to understand. How many know when you have the light, you can see what you're doing? How many of you say, well, I don't see where I'm going? And did you know that light is no good if you don't have eyes? Having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, Ephesians 1:18. The cherubim, the beings full of life, are full of eyes. Why? Why do you need a bunch of eyes so that you can see all the light? One eye alone isn't enough. For those of you that are stereo buffs, wouldn't it be nice to have about 10 ears? You can hear more.
That's why He made bees.
That's right. Everything about a bee is Trinitarian too. Everything is threes. Hallelujah. Yeah. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. By the way, John 10:10 is the pivotal verse in the whole Bible. If you want to know where to start, John 10:10 is the first verse to make a distinction when you're dealing with a soul. There's only two things that are taking place in life. John 10:10 tells you what it is. There's a thief out there. He's got a job. He only comes for one reason, to steal. And remember, he can't steal what you don't have. The worst part is that if he steals it from you, because you don't know you have it, you're the sucker. That's why it's necessary that you know what it is you have, so you don't let him steal it. That means you better learn how to guard your mind. Learn how to learn truths, or he'll steal it. If you don't learn how to listen to me, well, it just grates on somebody. I'm going to say the most terrible, ridiculous thing that a pastor can say.
Go ahead.
I'm humble. How many know you ain't supposed to never say that? Christ stood up and said, I'm lowly. Well, was he? What's wrong with saying what you are? You're supposed to be like him, right? Humble yourself. Well, we've been told, well, you can't say that because that's a sign of pride. See how foolish it is? So in other words, for the devil to keep from being humble, you can't say it. That's stupid. You know what humility teaches you? You better be cautious. You know what? If you're really humble, you can never be proud. I got nothing to be proud of. Because whatever I have, whatever I do, it's his grace. I didn't accomplish nothing. You can't say, well, Pastor Crouch did it. Pastor Crouch could do it. I can't do it. He can do it. He's been trained in it. Hogwash. Horse spit. Lizard breath. How can I stir you?
I'll get up and stir him up.
Yeah, sit down. Got to have some humor, right? Got to get your attention. You'll never be proud if you're humble. And the worst thing you can do is not admit you're humble, because then you're proud. Yeah. Now the thief cometh not, but to steal. That's just, he ain't going to come unless he can steal. And he's not going to come and steal unless you're blind. Unless you're in the dark. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge in the Bible is the symbol for light. That's what light is. It's knowledge. But it's more than that, because the word in Greek and Hebrew for knowledge is the same word for intercourse. How many know that you can't have intercourse unless you're married? Got a lot of philosophies today. You can have it anytime you want. By the way, I recommend everybody go see a movie. Yeah. No, I recommend everybody go see A Stranger Among Us. It was filmed among the Hasidic Jews in L.A. with a New York backdrop of an L.A. city cop who was a Gentile woman, and a Hasidic Jew was murdered, and she, as a Gentile, had to go into a Jewish community and live among the Hasidic Jews and find where the murderer is. So the stranger among them was the fact that she was an alien. She was an outsider. And in one scene, the rabbi comes up to this woman and says, well, the woman cop says to this rabbi, this rebbe, this one man who was studying to be a rebbe, says to him, says, I don't see anything wrong with going to bed. I mean, why do you have to get married to go to bed? Why can't you go to bed with somebody and not be married? That's not a good question. I mean, how many know that's situation ethics out there in our schools today? Go do it whenever you want to. As long as it feels good, do it. Don't worry about it. And Christians buy the lie. I don't know why they buy it. It's not even for sale. And in the movie, the interesting thing was that it's this Gentile woman who makes the statement, you can lay with anybody you want. And this person training to be a rabbi says, but Kabbalah teaches. Some of you catch on to this and some of you will miss it. It's okay. Just buy the tape on Kabbalah. Kabbalah says that sex can only be practiced by married people. Well, you know, how many know the Bible teaches that too? There's a reason for that. But I recommend that you see the movie, because we got these concepts out there. And it's going to teach you some things. Especially when you're in a messianic congregation, you're going to see some real goodies. You're going to see how they celebrate on the Sabbath, and you're going to see a real Jewish wedding under the chuppah. Little elements of it. They don't show a lot of the good parts, but they do show some parts that are quite interesting. And you know what's amazing? That in the Bible, Christ said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. He didn't say that if you did a little, then we got the idea they were bums. Their theology gives them 613 commandments. The church only keeps 9. And then they have trouble with them. Well, would you rather have a religion with 613 commandments? Or would you rather have a religion with 9?
Well, man,
yeah. How many know there's 10 options? You ever read the 10 options in Exodus 20?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were options. I thought they were commandments.
But the church commandments.
That's right.
That
yeah, but they're options today.
Yeah.
So you can't have commandments. We're not under law. There's no more commandments. It's over with. Well, then let me have your wallet, brother. There's no more commandments, and it's my option. I want your money. We're not under law. Isn't that stupid? It always cracks me up when some theologian comes my way and says, you're a legalist because you believe in law. I says, sure, I believe in law. Law ain't going to save you, but it's sure going to protect me. As long as we got the law, I don't have to worry about being raped. I don't have to worry about being killed. Because the law says, thou shalt not kill. You remove the law, I'm liable to get killed. Law protects me. I want law to be. You tell somebody ain't no law, next thing you know is you dead. 50% of the church today is living in open fornication. You know why? Because ain't no law. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, then why do we have so much guilt contact? There's nothing wrong with it. You shouldn't be guilty. Yet the moment you say law, it's legalism. See how we've missed it? We've messed it up. We don't understand it. You know what Christ is really saying? I'm going to set you so free, you don't have any desire to steal. You don't have any desire to kill. You don't have any desire. But the Jews, they got 613 commandments. You know what they do? They go beyond the 10. By the way, I just said earlier, this church has got 9. What happened to the 10th? Remember the Sabbath? They don't believe in the Sabbath. Christ did away with it. I don't know where he did away with it. It doesn't say, but there's 10 commandments. Every church holds up 10 commandments, and none of them keeps the 5th commandment or the 4th commandment. 4th commandment is remember the Sabbath. Well, Sunday is the Sabbath. No, it isn't, because Sabbath means 7th day. And everybody knows Sunday is the first day of the week, and it hasn't changed since creation. And to this very day, and in every encyclopedia, Sunday is always the first day of the week and not the 7th. And the word Sabbath means 7th. So how are you going to get away with it? Remember the Sabbath simply means remember the 7th day and keep it. Not remember the first day. And go to church. 7th commandment hasn't changed. You can go to church whenever you want to, folks. Go to church and say it's okay, but you still got to keep the Sabbath. There's 10 commandments out there, but the Jews got 613 of them. Some of which are negative, some of which are positive. Because you see, they take the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi, and every time God said something, they said, that's my commandment. You know what Jesus said or Yeshua said? Unless your righteousness, which means doing what the commandment is, because righteousness is only doing what the commandment said. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of theirs. What does that mean? You've got to do more than keep 613. You've got to do it from the heart. And you know what? You can't do it from the heart if you're not born again. And you can keep all 613 commandments real easy. All you got to do is fall in love. Because love will never fail. And you know where you get love? It comes from light. Knowledge. But knowledge is the word for intercourse. I went all that way, round ticket, to tell you what intercourse is. To tell you what light is. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. How many remember the scripture? That word for knew is the same word all through the Bible. To know him. It means to know intimately. Have a relationship with him. Be intimate with him. That's the knowledge you're to have. And that's what light is. Light is knowledge, but it's a special kind of knowledge. It's an intimate knowledge. It means to experience. How many know that 2 and 2 is 4 is not knowledge? Those are simple facts. In Greek, in fact, there's 2 words for knowledge. You ready for this? You know, it's amazing that every occult religion in the world knows what I'm giving you tonight, only the church doesn't know it. Yet all of it came out of the church. There's only 2 words in Greek for knowledge. One of those is gnosis. We get the word Gnostics. And all occult doctrines come out of what is called Gnosticism. It means to know. It means to know by experience. There's another word that was called oida, which means to know by facts. It's only a mental exercise. This is not a mental exercise. That's an experience. How many know that you can know all about sex, but until you're married, you'll never experience it? You understand what I'm saying? And Father deliberately takes the Bible and puts it in this kind of language. Adam gnosis his wife. Not a woman. Adam didn't gnosis the girl down the street. He gnosis his wife. He knew his wife. Intimate, personal, commitment. And that's the knowledge that produces light when you apply it to your spirit. Father doesn't want you to have just a bunch of facts. He wants you to have an experience that turns you upside down until you so fall in love with Him and in love with the Word and in love with Pastor Crouch. That you won't rest until this church has 1,000 people in it. How many know that I am Father's gnosis unto you?
Amen.
Now, some of you have the facts about me, but you don't have the gnosis about me. I want you to understand that this thing, life, is so profound that when it dawns on you and it enters into you, you are a walking time bomb. You are ready to detonate on Satan's kingdom. You are one step away from total victory. You are one step away from totally destroying evil in your life. And because the devil keeps you ignorant of it, he's going to steal this knowledge from you and say, well, I didn't have to go to Bible study tonight. Or I didn't understand what Pastor said, so I ain't going to go back. That's what John 10:10 means. The thief comes not but to steal. He's going to steal it in several ways. One, he's going to steal it by you not even knowing you got it, or because you have it available to you, you won't make yourself available to it. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, you force me to boast.
Right.
I don't have to force this church. I don't have to boast to you. It doesn't come out of ego. It doesn't come out of pride. I'm just a human being saved by grace like you are. But in His grace, He has bestowed upon me gnosis, intimate knowledge, knowledge that will cause you to fall in love with the Master, knowledge that only comes by teaching. But you know, teaching is hard because you got to sit still for a good hour. And after it's all done, you say, what did he say? Buy next week's tape. And after 90 days, I wonder what he said. I dare you. When I get through with a series, buy every tape on it, go back and listen to it. After it's already over with, you will have triple the revelation knowledge coming to you. And if you stay with me for 2 years, you will have more knowledge than the average pastor has after 10 years of Bible school. Am I boasting? No. I tell you that there's knowledge here that will cause you to be free. My only desire is for you to understand that I sacrifice myself for you and to you because I have only one desire, to give you truth, that you can have victory. Rompha, that 35,000-year-old spirit that comes down in that lady who charges $400 a session. You can't walk in the door without writing somebody a $400 check. She takes Bank America card and Visa. And as you sit before her, she will unveil the gnoses of the centuries. And while you sit before her, she will rise and you will be healed of your diseases. And you will learn to fall in love with power to realize that you are a god. You don't need one. And you have to pay $400 for that? Doctrines of demons. Demon spirits who enter into foolish human beings who don't have any knowledge, who therefore give darkness, and people are so hungry they'll pay for it. And we have something here totally free that goes beyond anything demon spirits can teach.
That's right.
And within 100 years after Christ rose from the dead, Satan took this word and created another doctrine that the average church person today goes back in history and believes that all gnosis was sin. Yet Paul said to the Ephesian saints that the gnosis was hidden in Christ from the foundation of the world and has been revealed to the church. Every mystery that the occult world is trying to find has already been given to the church. And the church don't even know it, so the devil stole it, takes Christ out of it, and puts himself into it. And then we wonder why everybody's worshiping Lucifer. No wonder Lucifer offers more fun, especially intellectual fun. Do you know in order to be a witch what you got to go through? Man, witches got to go through things that you don't have to go through as a Christian. And they'll pay the price. They'll go to university and get a degree to be a witch. You wouldn't go to university and learn how to become a Christian. How foolish. And you know what they teach in witch school? The four cherubim. The four faces. They teach everything I teach in reverse. Leaving Christ out. That's all the New Age is. The old message. We've got the new message. Christ is the answer. And when Christ is put back in the mysteries, there's no occult world. Because occult simply means hidden. And the Bible says to the church have been given these hidden mysteries. We got the mysteries. Why go there? It's here. We don't charge you $400 to walk in the door. You can get it free.
Just buy you dinner.
Just buy me dinner, that's right. Or buy me a watermelon. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the only three things that the devil can do. Steal, kill, or destroy. And in your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your health, and in your thinking, and in your relationship to Father, there's only three things that can happen. You will either have it stolen from you because you let the thief take it because you didn't gnosis, you didn't get knowledge. Or he'll just plain kill you. Or he'll destroy you. But look what Yeshua said. But I have come that they might have life. Again, same word, Revelation 4, 6 and 7. I have come that they might have Zoe. I have come that they might have Chai. That's why He came, so you can have it. And you want to see the result of those who yield to it? That's what Revelation 4 is all about. Those who yield to it, those who walk in it, those who refuse to let it be stolen from them, those who refuse to let it be destroyed in them, will obtain the kingdom, putting their foot down, saying, this is mine, I have a right to it. I have a right to prosperity. I have a right to succeed in life. I have a right to a life of wonderfulness. Because He came to give me life. What kind of life? Even Yeshua said in John 10:10, and that more abundantly. Now, how many of you need a little more abundance than what you got? Now, if life is the absence of death, life is the absence of financial lack, Life is the opposite of sickness and disease. Life is the opposite of discord and disharmony in relationships. If life is harmony in every area, which in itself would be beautiful, he said, but I've come to give that, even that to you, more abundantly. I want to increase it. Is it his will to give you prosperity? But then some prosperity buffs come on the market and preach a form of prosperity that's all money and Cadillacs that turns the church world off, and then they rob people and take it someplace else, and then the church world says, it isn't Father's will for us to prosper, and meanwhile, all of us that have problems say, well, I guess I just have to live like this till he comes. Thief has come for Christians to abuse truths that have been given in his word because they're so perverted, we reject truth. And I will not let the thief come in this church and steal truth. Just because somebody distorts the prosperity message doesn't mean you don't have a right to prosperity. But there's a scriptural way to get prosperity, and you'll never get it in selfishness. And if you just want a Cadillac, honey, you'll never get it, because that's not prosperity. Prosperity is when you prosper from the spirit down. Everything you do, prosper. Whatever your hands will touch, it'll prosper. It'll turn to gold. If you touch junk, it'll turn to gold. That's what Father wants you to be. And you can only do that if you are Zoe. And so Father gives us a picture, chapter after chapter after chapter in the Bible, about who his people are, which is the end result of your life. And when you see what you can be, when you see what you have in front of you, when you see that Father is there for you to not go after it, it's the stupidest thing you and I can do. I tell you today that every one of you sitting here have an opportunity in the next year. By next year at this time, because of this message and if you understand it, to eliminate the negatives that are in your life right now. Simply by learning to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Focusing on who he is and what he's done. And if you grab that and you put it into your life, and he is life, you will never be the same. You will never die. You will never hunger. You will never thirst. You will walk in an abundance, and you will be fulfilled. And nothing will discourage you, and nothing will hurt you, for you are a walking dynamo. If I can get that thought into you, I have destroyed the devil's ability to rob you. Just the fact that you let me preach to you destroys the devil's ability to steal. Think about that. And if you want to be thief-proof, you want to put spiritual bars around you so the thief can't break in, buy my tapes. If you don't have any money, get the tapes. It's not the preacher. It's not pastor. It's the Word. How many understand what I'm saying? Get the Word in you. As one sister said, I listened to As He Is tape 50 times, and on the 50th time I was set free. This woman is not the same. This woman is a walking powerhouse. She's threatening the kingdom of Satan in her life. You can too. How many of you would like to be a threat? Just wake up in the morning, you scared the devil. Talk about eating mountains, honey. Woo! You're going to get up in the morning. Okay, devil, where are you? I just dare you to come around me. How many know that when Yeshua walked down the streets of Jerusalem and that little fellow sitting there with a demon in him, Yeshua knew that that person had a demon? He didn't have to call it out and say, I have a spirit of discernment, and I see you have a devil. He never said that. He's just walking down because why? He is life. That's what he is. He is life. And when life touches death, death has to start shaking. And just the presence of the Master got close to that demon. Are you with me? Just the presence of the Master got close to that demon. And the demon got shook up and he cried out and he jumped inside of the body of the man and made the man vomit out these words. Get away from me! What have we got to do with thee? Have you come to torment us before our time? They were paranoid. They were scared. They were driven crazy. You want to drive a devil crazy? You want him to drive you crazy? Which is it? Most of us are driven crazy. It's time you turn it on them and drive them crazy. All you have to do is get the presence of the Master in you. And when you walk by them, they'll still jump and say, get away from me. You'll be chasing them. They won't be chasing you. You are a demon eater. That's better than a Terminator. Every one of you here tonight is stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nigger. That slipped. You know what I'm saying. Whatever he is, he's now teaching for President Bush personal fitness. And you know what? I've been teaching personal fitness for years in this church. How to wake up in the morning, be spiritually strong, do spiritual exercises, spit out devils every time you breathe. There's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of lust. There's a spirit of discouragement. Spit them out! Just fill yourself with the presence of the divine, and His presence in you will turn the kingdom of the devil upside down. You'll be a different person. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Father, we receive Your Word tonight. As we go through this study, cause it to live. Cause us to realize that in You we are powerful stuff. You've made us to be Your body on this earth. You've placed us above all powers and principalities and dominions and mights. You've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. In You, You have caused us to sit with You in heavenly places. In Your name, we are going to rule and reign. We worship You and praise You that You've made provision for this. But Father, we know we're in boot camp and You're training us in spiritual muscles and You're training us to be soldiers. You're training us to use our weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You're teaching us to win. You're teaching us to walk in Your name. You're teaching us that there is no power can resist Yours, and Yours is in us. And You and I together are going to whip everything that's out there. Father, when it's all said and done, You're going to have a throne for us. Help us to get excited tonight about what we've heard, that I got a throne waiting for me. All I got to do is simply exert Your Word, step on a few devils, destroy death, and I've got it made. So simple. Help, Father, to walk this life in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah.